know, I felt a real presence of the Lord during our praise and worship service. And, you know, to be in God's presence, things don't have to be big and boisterous. And I had a thought, and there's not too many of you here. Probably not over one of you. Maybe two. Can remember how the presence of the Lord was so strong when we had 10 in the beginnings. And it didn't concern us about what was going on out there. God was talking to that 10. And now we come along here and we go through what we've gone through the last several years. And now we're in a place like this, and there's not as many of us accordingly, because when we were having 10, we were packed out. Mm-hmm. But I thought now we have a tendency to lose the sight of the presence of the Lord because we're wondering where so-and-so is. Why aren't they here? Why aren't the others here? I wasn't even supposed to be here this morning. But I ended up here, and we're gonna see what we can get out of this. But I know that God's here this morning from the songs that were sung, and particularly Miss Darlene's song. Amen. Because it's quite interesting, and you'll see what I'm talking about by the time I get finished this morning. But I'd originally asked Shirley to preach text her Thursday and ask her if she could preach this morning. And she said, well, I don't know. I may have to be out of town. And I said, well, you know, just let me know. I thought, well, if she can't preach this morning, maybe I can get Ricardo. Then I found out he wasn't going to be here. And last night, as we were getting ready for bed, and we were talking about me getting here this morning, I said, well, if we get up in the morning and I just can't go, you get there, you do whatever you think. Have some testimonies or whatever. And she basically said, well, don't expect me to preach. And I said, well, if it comes to that, you can ask Scott. He probably could have something to share. And he's not even here this morning. So, it's me.
Amen. Praise God.
And you keep me in your prayers. I've got to go to Louisville tomorrow for a heart cath. And got some things going on that they're going to have to resolve, they and God and prayer and everything, because it's not a kind of situation where you can just ignore it and go on. Okay. You know, we've heard a lot through the years about confession. And that if we will confess right, you know, that we will receive what we believe. And I believe that. I believe that's true. But I also know that sometimes we start confessing things at the bottom before we start confessing the things at the top. In other words, they're priorities. And I want to share a little bit this morning on confession and something else that you'll see before we get finished. And I'm going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And in this particular section of Scripture, Paul is admonishing Timothy to stand his ground and to realize what it is he has received and what it is he is operating in and some of the things that are at stake. In verse 11, he begins, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good profession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Jesus Christ, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate," and that means sovereign, "the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man can see or has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen." Now we're looking at this and we're focusing on the last part of verse 12. "To which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." You have professed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. But he didn't say what the good confession is. Now, the reason he doesn't say that is probably he just assumed that Timothy knew what he was talking about. But he didn't bother to explain it because he didn't know that 2,000 years later we were going to be reading it. God knew it, but I don't believe Paul did. But Timothy, before many witnesses, had confessed this good profession. Now, you know, there's a lot of people when they study the Bible and they read a verse like that, wonder what the good profession was. And they start thinking. And they come up with something. That's that good confession. Now, let me give you an idea. Okay, if you were unfamiliar at all with what we're talking about here, and I asked you to give me what do you think he meant the good confession? Well, a good confession is I'm saved. That's a good confession, right? I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's a good confession, right? My God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's a good confession, right? I've been born again. That's a good confession. And so we could fill that in and fill in the blank there and answer that question like many people do the Bible, and that is what we just did. But do you realize, and I'm sure that some of you may already, do you realize that Paul gave us the good confession? Now, I want you to turn backwards in your Bibles to John. Chapter 18. First, begin with verse 33. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "I am a Jew. I am a Jew. Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." There we have it. What's the confession? In all three of the other Gospels, the only thing that we hear or see in red when Pilate said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus responds with, "It is as you say." All three Gospels. And then he said nothing else. Because you see, none of them were in there, but John was in there when this was going on. I don't know if you knew that or not. John followed Jesus, the disciple whom he loved, had connections. He got through the door. He's on the inside. He got more information than the rest of them. And when you put that, when you take what Paul said to Timothy, the good confession, which Jesus confessed before Pontius Pilate. What did Jesus confess before him? He confessed that, "Yes, I am the king. I am the king of the Jews." And that's how you... You know, it's how you find out sometimes things that you don't know. You don't have to make them up. You don't have to study them out. You don't have to come to a revelation. You just have to look in the Bible. Follow the scriptures. Now, how many of you noticed how much king was in these songs we sung this morning? The idea of king. And you know, that's the first confession that we need to make. That's the confession that we need to hold on to. See, Jesus couldn't confess, "I've been born again." Because that didn't have anything to do with him. So what? Who are you? What are you doing? Are you the king? Now let me tell you something. When you remember that Jesus Christ is the king of your life, and you remember to confess that before everybody, when we start confessing without backing up, without taking a sidestep, when we just stand our ground and say, Jesus is my king. He is the king of the kingdom that I live in. If we start and hold on to that and keep that in our mind, we'll have a whole lot less struggle with trying to confess and believe some of the other things, like, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. All my needs are supplied according to Jesus Christ. And this might not shake your timbers and wave the limbs of your trees. But I think that in many cases that people are trying to receive something from God and they haven't made the right confessions yet. And we just assume. And I can remember times when years passed that we were so intent on getting people to talk right. And we still are. And if you don't talk right, you're going to saw a hole around your feet and you're going to fall through it. You ever seen those cartoons or the Three Stooges, something where they're cutting a hole in the floor, but they're standing on top of what they're cutting out? That's the way it is when we're saying things that the Word doesn't say. When we talk contrary to what God's Word declares. And we've got to understand that it starts at the top and it comes down. It doesn't start at the bottom and go up. When I see my needs supplied, when my healing is received, when I've been delivered, and when I've got this new house I'm claiming and all like that, when I get all of that and it all comes to pass and I can see it all, then I'll just be able to say at that point, Jesus, you're the king. Something wrong with that? Yeah. Now, let's say you got all of that. You got all of that stuff you were confessing for, but you never really confessed him as the king, as the sovereign, as the potentate, it said there. You know what Paul was trying to get Timothy to see? Hey, look, I don't care what you're talking about, him or the emperor of Rome, he's higher. He is the only potentate. He's the only sovereign. And I think we let that slip away. And it slips out of our view sometimes because of the troubles and the trials and the situations that we find ourselves in. And you know, the devil is a good PR person. I mean, he can convince you of a lot of stuff. He could sell a refrigerator to an Eskimo. And he comes to us and he tells us, yeah, God's testing you. God's trying to see if you got the goods. I'm going to tell you something. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have to be concerned about whether or not you have the goods.
That's right. Amen.
You got them. And we don't have to build something toward it. And that sentence from the bulletin that I put in there this morning. I've not done everything right, but I am righteous, but I know I'm righteous. Now, if I wait until I do everything right to believe I'm righteous, I'm never going to get to walk in the blessings of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because I will never be able to do everything right. The only person that ever did anything right, was Jesus. And then he gave his rights, all of the rights that he did, he gave to us. And his authority. And his privilege. That's the kind of things we need to be confessing underneath everything. Else, you work it out with God and you work it out with yourself and stop talking stupid. You know, Christians can talk as stupid as non-Christians. And mainly because they haven't been taught that it makes any difference. But you know, I didn't even know what Laverne put on the bulletin this morning, but what's the thing she put on the back there from Joyce Myers about the fact that your thoughts are words that only you and God can hear. But when you start hearing your thoughts, and your thoughts are contrary, then your life starts to begin to sink. Quit thinking stupid. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to share a little incident that happened on our way to church this morning. And we were coming down the road. And now just think about these steps and what it started as and what it led to. Going down the road there, and Laverne was driving. And all of a sudden, two doves flew up in front of us. And they flew out like that. And my first thought was, I never could hit them things when they were flying, when I tried to hunt them. I just didn't have that, you know, I didn't know where they're going, not where they are. But anyway, I thought about that. And then that thought popped into my mind about my grandfather and I shooting doves, but we'd shoot them off the light lines. They're sitting doves, sitting ducks. And I remembered that behind my grandfather's house, there was another house, and there was a family lived there. And I remember him shooting them off the light lines out there with a 22, right? And so I asked Laverne, I got to thinking, and I remembered the man's daughter's name. And I asked Laverne, I said, "Do you ever know her?" And Laverne said, "She's mean." So, yeah, I knew her. And then she said, she brought up another name. She said, "Those two right there, they teased me and made fun of me in really hateful ways." And I know Laverne because I've been married to her for 47 years. And I know what she's like, and I know what she's been like. And I said, "You know what you did?" I said, you let what those two girls said about you determine the way you pictured yourself. And I said, you know, rest of your life, live without thinking about that. But I know what she struggles with. I mean, you can't live with somebody for that many years, and I know what they have struggles with. And the struggles that she has have been exactly what those girls told her when she was a little girl. And she formed her whole opinion of herself from what those little girls said. So words will change your life. They'll make it better, they'll make it worse, but they'll change your life. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, would that kind of confession, would that be really good in some certain situations and circumstances? I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. I was sitting at my desk this morning before church, and I was looking through the book of Psalm. I was just reading different places. And I thought, wait a minute here. I just saw something. And what I saw was this. Now think about the times that David wrote the psalm. In the beginning of the psalm, he started out praising God. And then after he's praised God for a few verses, it oftentimes turned into something negative. My enemies after me, they've surrounded me, you know, like the... They want my life, they're after my blood. And then the third thing is a confession. They shall not touch me. They will be brought down low. They will be scattered. I mean, whatever, you know, just a confession declaring what was going to happen to these ones that he'd talked about. And then they go back again to praising the Lord. And that theme is all the way through the Psalms. Confession. Now we're talking about our confession. Now I want you to go to a couple more verses and we're going to be done. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. The apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Now, if he is the apostle and high priest of our confession, I can tell you one thing. There's a lot of people out here that he's not their priest. He's not the priest of their confession. You know, it's not Jesus' responsibility to say what we say. It's our responsibility to say what He says. The world says, and a lot of the church says, they are not righteous. But they're trying to be. You cannot be righteous except by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you can only receive it by believing and confessing. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all my sins and made me righteous. And I believe that. Do I do everything right? No, but that's not the issue. That's my part of it. That's my works, and my works don't count into it. Now, do I deliberately go out here and just say, well, it doesn't matter what I do because I'm covered by grace? No, that's stupidity. That's ignorance. Ignorance of the word and ignorance of the meaning of what God is saying when it says that it was all in Jesus Christ. Because if you receive the grace of God, the first thing it will do to you is start making you love God. God and only God. But Jesus confesses His word. Of our confession. Who's talking to? Partakers of the heavenly calling. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Turn to page 414 in Hebrews. So you may have already been there. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How can you go boldly to a throne of grace if you do not know, recognize, and worship the one sitting on the throne? And you know, there are a lot of people that almost, now I'm just putting this as a picture, they want to slip into the throne and confess what they need and slip out. Because they don't want the one on the throne to see them, because they know how they've been living. And the reason why so many people are not receiving a victory, you know, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them from them all. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you as an individual are going to have a lot of affliction. But righteousness, many are the afflictions of the righteous. You get one affliction, somebody else gets another affliction. Anything that tries to stop you from serving God, from fulfilling your purpose. Some people, money stops them, or the lack of it. Other people, it's fame and fortune. Other people, it's immorality. And when he can't get in those areas, he'll just go ahead and attack your body. Try to take it out. It just kind of amazes me, not every time I go, but a lot of the times I go to see my doctor. He said, you are a real medical challenge. Because nothing that I have experienced works in the normal way that it should work. And the outcome is not an outcome that's expected. But we go through things. And of all the people that preach what I preach and what the, and it's different degrees. I'm not saying that I have as, my faith is activated as much as some other people's faith is activated, but I'm a believer. But I've never met anybody that I've had any chance to get acquainted with. And I'm talking about in the way hopes that hasn't in some form or other gone through an affliction. Some of it's been finances. Some of it's been health-wise. Most of it's been health-wise. But the way they dealt with it is the way they're supposed to deal with it. They confessed it, and they believed God, and they did what the doctor said, and they trusted the King. And I found out when I heard the faith message, God wanted you to believe and you could receive. That was really good news. And I started reading it, I started studying it, I got a hold of it. I read books by Brother Hagin, mostly Brother Hagin, because at that time he's the only one. Count Copeland was sort of down on the level below Brother Hagin at that time. And somebody asked me about him, and I'll be honest, I said this. I said, no, I haven't really read much of what he said. What I have read, he's just repeating what Brother Hagin says, so why do I have to read both of them? And I liked Brother Hagin's material better than I did Brother Copeland's, but now that's not a reflection on them, because look what Kenneth went on and became. But I found out that most of the criticism that people brought against the word of faith was not from what Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland, Oral Roberts, etc. Shambach. You know, all of the big names in the faith, word of faith movement. It was not from what they were teaching. The criticism was coming against their disciples. Not ones that had stayed with them, but ones that had read their material and took off on their own and broadened it. And same can be said probably about grace, the grace message. There's people that's going to go out here and they're going to run that thing right off the cliff. Because they're going to be saying, well, it doesn't matter how you live, just as long as you believe. I'll tell you one thing, your living reflects what you're believing. Right. You say, well, I accept Jesus, write my name on a church book. Want to be a member, okay. All right, now, grace covers it all, huh? For by grace you say, if you faith, not of works, okay, that means, okay, fine, all my sins are taken care of, now I'm good to go. And then the next thing you find out, they're still living the way they were living before. If they're living the way they were living before, they're still believing the way they believed before. And I'm not talking about people making mistakes. I'm talking about people just have set their theology train on the wrong track. You're going to make mistakes. But God's not going to stomp you in the head when you fall. He's going to reach down and pick you up. And I can remember so many times and hearing so many sermons where the opposite was given. You better straighten up. You better quit doing this kind of stuff. And you better get up from there before God comes over here and kicks you in the head. No, God's going to come over to you and say, hey, let me help you up. Now I'm helping you up. Now, don't go do this anymore. Go and sin no more. He means just make better choices. Make better choices. And keep confessing the good confession. And the good confession, Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's my King and my Lord. And then things, the trickle-down theory starts. There you go. What did I say now? We didn't get on the tape. Oh, yeah. It doesn't trickle down. It comes down in a wave. It comes down in a flood. But it always comes from the top. I'm done. Amen. Well, I didn't do too bad this morning. I told you some truths.
Right.
And that's what we're here for, isn't it? You're not here to judge me, watch me perform, and then afterwards leave and say, Pastor's sermon wasn't very good this morning, was it? Or on the other hand, boy, Pastor preached a good sermon this morning. I hope you feel that way every time. But I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to convince you and to give you knowledge to live by. Amen. Next Sunday is our Christmas.
Chili and the side items
and all like that. And we're going to have that together, and then we're going to play the little game that everybody loves. I like a game. If I don't get anything, I still like the game.
Yeah, have fun,
yeah. And everybody can get involved in it, kids and grown-ups and older folks and senior citizens. And all those things are going to be going on next Sunday. And just keep me in your prayers. Tomorrow, I'm supposed to be there and be at the Alderman Hospital in Louisville at 10:30 their time. It's 9:30 our time.
Amen.
And depending on what they find, we go from there. But God's in charge and everything's going to be fine. You know, I've said this before, I'm here alive standing in front of you because of three things: your prayers, our believing, Jesus working, and the doctors with their skills. I mean, you know, you do what you do. I really believe that if I had not gone to the doctor and I just said, Lord, I'm going to trust you, I would be with him now. And He fought me for that, then go study everybody else. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence now, Lord, as we're ready to leave for your throne, recognizing you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're my King, and you're a good King. You're a wonderful sovereign. You take care of all of your people. And I thank you, Lord God, for watching over the flock here in this next week. Thank you, Lord God, for keeping them safe and healthy and prospering in everything they put their hand to. And I thank you, Lord God, that I'm your child, that you, Lord God, care for me. And I'm believing, Lord God, that you're in charge. And the Word of God says, we'll not fear an evil report. And so, Lord God, I thank you. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing and fills the hungry soul with good. I've been studying that a couple of weeks ago that whole chapter about what they went through, and then they cried unto the Lord, and then you know.